Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for finding us. We're a small group. Are you guys okay if I just stand down here? I know I'm short, but it's not too many of us, so I don't want to get too formal. Well, welcome here, you Keeners that actually care about online church, online ministry. I was really excited to hear a little bit about what Paul had to say this morning about, you know, restoring our passion, because I think a lot of us that have been involved with online ministry might be a little tired, and so we might need to restore our passion. So that's kind of what I want to talk about today, is moving from we have to do this to we get to do this and be excited about online ministry again. So my name is Amber Skrabic. You can see that up there. This is actually my first in-person LifeLinks conference. I came on staff here at Church of the Rock just over a year ago, so I was here in time for the last virtual conference. But yeah, this is my first time actually attending, so getting a chance to present is intimidating and terrifying, but especially to present on something that I've been doing about a year. But this is who I am. I am a child of God. I am the wife of a very patient man. Chuck at the back, he knows my husband. He knows that's true. But my background really isn't in technology or anything like that. It's actually, I have an arts background. I'm a singer. I'm a broadcaster. I'm a former journalist. I've worked in public relations. But my biggest accomplishment is I'm now a biker chick. I ride my own motorcycle. And so those are my two happy places there, beside my husband and on my motorcycle. And what ranks one and two varies day by day. But those are my happy places. So yes, I'm those things. But no, I am not the bottom things. I am not an IT professional. I'm not a techie. I've learned a lot in the last year from Chuck at the back of the room there. But yeah, there's a lot of what goes on behind the scenes that I have no clue about, and I'm still slowly learning. But for me, I'm excited about the ministry and the communication and what's possible with online ministry. So we don't have a lot of people here, so maybe we can actually quickly find out who all of you guys are. Yeah, I can safely say you guys. It's all men. I've noticed that. You know, I did a workshop when I was with Youth for Christ, and we were talking about clearly communicating via social media. And I had a packed house, and it was all men. And I'm thinking, is that because it's only men who are communicating on social media, or it's only men who think they need help communicating on social media? But introduce yourselves. Let me know who you are and where you're from.
Alistair. I'm from Melbourne. Mm-hmm. Why I came to this workshop? Interested. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Well, yeah. We'll see. Excellent.
I'm Curtis from Melville. And yeah, I'm on the worship team, I guess, just behind the scenes a bit at church. So, and I record the service. So.
Okay. A little bit involved, yeah.
My name is Dave. I'm from Harbor City. I'm our production coordinator, so the church leader, so I think the online God.
Nice. In the back there?
I'm Noah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, oh, yeah, sure.
I'm Noah. I'm from Human Church in Spokane. We're a brand new church plant there, so I'm kind of doing everything.
Including this.
Leading worship.
Awesome, yes.
My name is Rennie Schultz. I'm from, I call it the Morris. Morris is 30 miles from the Morris campus.
Nice.
We call it a campus, kind of. The reason I came here was because I am not interested at all in computers, tech stuff, and that stuff. But my friend is international director of Send International, and before COVID, he wrote a book on being connected virtually. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that.
So I'm here on obedience.
Awesome. I like that. Yes.
I'm Dallas Whitler. I'm the pastor at the Rock Church in Saskatoon. And I'm here because we have a number of pieces of stuff, the online service, some social media stuff, and just interested in how it ties together better as strategy and particularly the engagement piece.
For sure. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm Chris from Zambia. A senior pastor living in Rock Church. But one of our services is online, and we get lots of feedback there, and I also run a radio ministry. So I'm here just to learn how I can keep it going and keep it right.
Welcome here, brother. We're glad to have you here. Yes.
I'm Jonathan Teason. I'm from New York and Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan represent.
Yeah. And we have an online service going, and I would be interested in
Oh, yeah. Always more to learn, right?
My name is Randall Friesen. I'm from British Church of Medicine Hat. And, I run all the tech. Like, absolutely all the tech. I'm a good tech nerd.
You're the guy.
Yeah. And I also, too, like, edit and do a lot of, like, video stuff for church and online stuff in the background, too, with work. And so I'm the same thing. I just always love hearing more. Same with my podcast.
Fabulous. Nice.
I can still learn more.
Awesome. Well, this is a great cross-section of people, slightly skewed gender-wise, but that's okay. I'm used to that. Yes?
My wife is the brains behind the technical side of things. Anybody needs help.
You're just on recon. I understand. Well, the verse that I would like to share with you guys this morning that really kind of directs what we're trying to do here in our online ministry is from Luke 9. And I know that this is a passage that you guys can absolutely recite, but just want to read it. I mean, the whole passage is amazing, but we're just going to read this first little bit and hopefully have a slightly different look at it. And it says, "Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, 'Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here.' And he replied, 'You give them something to eat.'" And so when I read that passage now, given the last year of what I'm doing here at Church of the Rock, I see that the disciples were stuck in the have to. Right? They were stuck in the fact that they had all of these people. It was a weird situation. It wasn't a planned meeting. They didn't have what they thought they needed. And they have to do something about this situation. They have to get these people back to where they're supposed to be. They need to go somewhere else to get fed because that's where they're supposed to be. And it's not up to us to do that, right? And so they want things to get back to normal. Does it kind of sound familiar? We really want things to get back to normal. But I think that ship has sailed. But the disciples were stuck in the have to, and Jesus was saying, no, you get to feed them where they are. And of course, in today's reality, where is everybody? They're online, right? And we've certainly learned that over the last few years. But Jesus says, yeah, I know it's inconvenient. I know we don't have the resources. I know this wasn't what we planned. It's not comfortable. The disciples were thinking, oh, we have to get them back to normal. And Jesus is saying, no, we actually get to feed them. And you know what, of course, happened. Not only was Jesus able to feed them all, but they had leftovers. And everyone was blessed and fed where they were. So that's my sort of guiding verse when we're talking about what we do here in online. And of course, I love this image. There's Pastor Mark teaching me and the others on Praise Team how to dance. This is just one of our worship services before COVID. Look at all those people, shoulder to shoulder, breathing on each other, all germy. I mean, people see crowds like that now and they panic, right? But that was our culture. That was our DNA. We were fun. We were celebratory. We loved being together. And I'm one of those people, too. I love being together. I love leading worship. I love seeing all those people together. And we did have online church. I don't know if any of you guys met or knew Pastor Tim Hamm, who was here for many, many years. And thanks to his vision and his technical prowess, we were an online church for about 7 years before COVID. So we were using the Life Church online platform. We were streaming services. We were streaming things like Power and Praise, which is like our monthly praise and worship night and prayer. And we had an online small group already that met for several years before COVID. But even within this church, it was still pretty fringy, right? Like most of us didn't know about it or participate in it. Even staff would tease Pastor Tim, oh, they're not real people, they're just cyber people, you know. And it was kind of this running joke. But then something happened, right? We had to close the doors, shut her down, and we all went online. And that's what church looked right, looked like, right? We're all sitting on our couches and watching our smart TVs or our tablets or our laptops. Everybody went online, and suddenly we realized that's a real thing. Now, the big challenge was, were you ready? A lot of churches weren't ready. They were thinking about online. They were talking about online, maybe. You know, oh, we'll spend money on that. We'll figure that out later. We were fortunate at Church of the Rock because we were a television ministry that we actually had that infrastructure. We had cameras. We had people who know how to use them. We were streaming already. So it was just a matter of now what do we do? And we moved into that have to mentality as well, because all of a sudden we're shutting the doors. This is a big building. A lot of stuff happens in here. How do we translate that online and not leave our people just twisting in the wind when they're the most stressed out they've ever been? So our have to, we looked at 1 Corinthians 9:22, again, another verse I'm sure you're very familiar with, but so that by all possible means I might save some. So we were endeavoring, our have to was to try and be everything online, try and translate everything online for our people. So that meant in addition to the online streaming that we were already doing of our services on the platform and continuing with our online small group and continuing to do Power and Praise, which was exciting when you were only allowed so many people in a room. We sometimes had to cut down on the number of camera people because we were crossing a line. But then we started this thing called Primetime Live. And Chuck, you remember this. Basically every night of the week, there was something streaming online on our platform. I'm so thankful I didn't work here then. But, you know, as a member of the congregation, it was so comforting during that lockdown time when we were all so scared and we didn't know what was going on. I knew that every night, pretty much at 7:30, if I went to the platform, there was something happening. And more importantly, there was someone there. I could go into the chat and someone was there to greet me and pray with me. There was somebody there. Now, Chuck, how much fun was that to maintain? But I mean, imagine that, being able to. So that was our pivot. That was our have to. It's like we need to be there all the time. There was no time to really think about it. It was just execute, execute, execute. That was our have to. And what we discovered during that time was, hey, online people are real people, because we were those people. And suddenly we realized that this actually matters. It's mattered to people for several years before now, but now we're starting to click in, and that we all need our community, and that looks different for different people. And just because some people do community differently than we do doesn't mean that it's not community for them, right? And so that's so important. And we discovered that people were actually searching. As Paul said this morning, you know, people aren't just going to walk into your church, right? They're going to check it out online first. I mean, I don't even go to a store without checking out their website first, right? So I'm certainly not going to walk into a church without checking out their website, their social media. If they do stream, if there's a watch live, I'm watching, right? I'm going to check that out. And so we realized that the numbers that we saw exploding on our online, A, because we were there, people were searching, the numbers didn't translate to just the people from our church who are now watching online, because we didn't have that many people. And we're looking at the geography, and people are joining us from all over the planet because we were there. And because we already had everything up and running, we had some algorithms working in our favor that made us findable online. And suddenly we became church to a whole new community of people in addition to our own. And we figured, we got to get intentional about this. Right now, we're just reacting, but we need to get intentional about this. So what that means for me and moving forward for our church is, again, moving from that have to the get to. And we have to be intentional about that. And I think what Paul was talking about this morning is so important, because we have been going full tilt in that have to mode, in that panic mode, and it's exhausting. But now that we can maybe take a breath, take a beat, now let's do it on purpose, with a purpose. Because we're through the door now. The door is open. We've discovered it. You can't go back. Once you know, you can't unknow. There are people out there that need to hear the gospel, and they're actually starting to listen. So we need to be intentional about that. So let's replace the panic with some planning. And let's boldly go into this space. Because God has called us to this. I mean, none of this surprised God, right? Like, this is not a surprise to him. And, you know, cyberspace has been there for a long time, and the church has kind of been conspicuously not there. And we know how much darkness there is online. We have got to start shining some light. Can I hear an amen? We have got to start shining some light in that darkness. So, if I can just lay out a plan for what I think intentional online church looks like, it's, I call it the dinner party plan. And so if you're planning a dinner party at your home, the first thing you have to do is invest and prepare for that party, right? Got to go out and buy the food, ingredients, get someone to clean your house, set up the chairs. Chuck's laughing because he knows I do zero cooking. So this is all stuff my husband does when we're planning a dinner party. But, you know, you have to prepare for it, and you have to invest. You have to have the right stuff, and you also have to have the right people. I have my husband to do the cooking. You don't want to come to a dinner party if I've done the cooking. So you got to make sure you have the right stuff, and you have to have the right people. And, of course, it only works if you invite people. They're not just going to, like, telepathy know that you're having a party, right? So you have to make sure that you let people know about your party and that you want them to come. And then you need to let them in. So if I invite you to my home for dinner and you come and you ring the doorbell and I don't answer, it's not a very good party, is it? Right? Or if you do come and you're not quite sure if you have the right house, or you're not quite sure if you feel like you're brave enough to go inside, you know, we probably all have that one shy friend that isn't sure that's your house, and then they loop around and you see them drive around like three times, and then they park out in front and they're like, I think that's the house. What do? I put on my jacket and I go outside and I go, hey, you got the right spot. Yep, you're here. Come on in. Come on in. You know, you got to make sure they come in. And probably most importantly is you need to include them. So if I invite you to my house for a dinner party and I welcome you in and I get you seated on the couch, you know, get comfortable, and then I go over here and I sit down with another group of people and have dinner, oh, this is for people who live here. You can watch, but it's not for you. Wouldn't be a very good dinner party, right? So with the dinner party plan in mind, I'm going to play a short little video of some things that we have tried to adopt here at Church of the Rock that adhere to my dinner party plan. This is about 5 minutes, and maybe make some notes of what you think we're doing there that adheres to the dinner party plan. Chuck, this has to work. Welcome to Church of the Rock Online. We are so happy that you've joined us today, and we want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. If it's your first time joining us today, make sure you jump into the comment or the chat section to say hi. Let us know where you're joining us from. And since it is Thanksgiving, why not share something that you're thankful for today? I know that we're thankful that you've joined us. Well, we have a very special service coming up for you. Pastor Mark is standing by with part 4 of his Simply Supernatural sermon series, and we're going to be taking communion together. So if
If you haven't already done so, grab some juice and some crackers and be ready so that when the time comes, we can all take communion together. Like I said, we've got a special service coming up. The praise team can't wait to get started. So let's head backstage for Backstage Pass.
Hey everyone, welcome to Backstage Pass. You're with me, your host, Lindley Lapunga, and today I'm joined by Judy Ricicci. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Judy, and thank you guys for joining us for Backstage Pass. Up next, we've got the service.
Well, good morning, church. Happy Thanksgiving. Hey, we're so excited that you've come here and to celebrate the goodness of God today, what He has done, what He promises that He's going to do. I want to just invite you to participate as best as you can. And we want to give a good, happy Thanksgiving morning to those that are watching online. Let's give them a cheer. Maybe online you can write something that you're thankful for today. Go ahead and participate in the service that way. And the rest of us in the room, we've got a job to do. Let's stand to our feet. Let's give God the praise, the thanks that He deserves today because He's an amazing God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Fight your way into the package. If you're online, whatever you've chosen to have as elements, we want to do this together. And Jesus said this in His Last Supper with His closest friends. He said, in the night He was betrayed, He took bread and He broke it and He gave it to His disciples and said, "This is My body."
Brought me from the darkness into glorious light.
Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him praise today.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey everyone, welcome to Church of the Rock. We're so glad that you're here with us today. Feel free to say hi in the chat. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're new, make sure you click our connect button. That way we get to know who you are and where you're chatting from and even what brought you to this platform.
And also, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for joining us this weekend. We would love to know what you're thankful for. So please jump into the chat. Tell us what you're thankful for there or take a picture and post it on Facebook or Instagram and tag us at Church of the Rock.
Good morning, church. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And happy Thanksgiving to those who are joining us online. That's throughout our city, across our nation, and around the world. Let's give those people a big shout. And a big happy Thanksgiving to our campuses that are joining us live right now. That's Bronx Park, North End, Niverville, and our good friends out at Morris, Manitoba. Let's give them a big shout. Nobody's looking around. Every eye is closed. Right where you are, if that is you, I want you to just raise your hand. And by raising your hand, you're indicating to me that that's what you want to do. And then if you're online, you can just click the little button, raise hand button. And just take a moment, raise your hand, let me know. All right, we're going to pray. And we're going to pray for those who raise their hand in the room or perhaps online. And we never single anybody out, so we're all just going to do it together. Ready? Lord Jesus, let's give the Lord a shout, shall we?
Amen. We are just so happy that you've been able to join us today. This has been an incredible morning. First, we had the chance to take communion together and, of course, celebrating Thanksgiving. And we are so thankful for you and thankful that you've been able to join us today. And if today was the day that you did make that decision to follow Jesus, you have one more thing to be thankful for. Please let us know about your decision. You can go to churchoftherock.ca/decision. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and I promise we will follow up with you just as soon as we can. Well, I know the kids are excited because Kids Rock is coming up next.
All right. So that is a very abbreviated version of our Thanksgiving service. So what did we do there that kind of followed the dinner party plan? Anything there that stuck out to you that you went, oh, okay, I see what they did there.
Specifically recognizing the people online looking directly I haven't seen a lot of churches do that before, where they're specifically taking the time to address those people. I think that definitely fits in the inclusion part and makes people feel like they're a part of the service rather than just a fly on the wall.
And you know what? It blesses the people in the room too. You know, because it lets them connect with the people that are online. And when we do Power and Praise, our sort of praise and worship night, I'm actually up on the platform watching all three of our streams. People are sending prayer requests or praise items and stuff. And I'm actually sharing that in the room in almost real time. I'm a few seconds behind. And so the online people hear what they've been saying online in the room. But then the people in the room get to be blessed by the fact that people online are praying for them. That they're responding too. And so we might be focused on, how do we include the online people? But it's also, how do we bless our in-person people to let them know they're part of this global thing that's happening?
Even if it's like the week after.
Yeah.
Like if it's, you just checked up on the comments. And
so oh, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, anything else jump out at you?
Yeah, it's also the demonstration that God is present as much with those that are online as He is with those that are in the room. So, He's at work at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, giving those folks the opportunity to respond to the call to prayer, giving them the opportunity to take communion with their church family. Yeah. Anything else?
You had your backstage passes up, so that's like basically a bit of content that's specifically only for people.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And again, that started during COVID for a couple of different reasons, because we wanted to sort of keep people connected with people in the church, let them know what was going on. It also helps us with timing of things as well, because as you know, if you're on the technical side of things, getting things streamed out, you need a little wiggle room. And so having that little extra bit of content helps us do that. But yeah, we can touch on things in a deeper way that we wouldn't normally be able to do. And it's primarily for the online people. Yeah.
So that was really good.
Yeah. And you know what? It's so cool when you're host.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So they can connect, or there's, you know, different moments they can go on to. And it's really neat, because every time someone does do a shout out from the platform, they respond in the chat. They're like, woohoo, online. Yay. You know, Derek says, hey, online folks. I'm like, hey, Derek. You know, so there, it becomes a two-way thing. And it's one thing for your online hosts to greet people, but it's just so much more when the pastor does, or the worship leader does, or, you know, that, because they're like, then they really feel seen, you know, and valued, right? So, yeah, so those are some of the things we did.
One more thing. Yes. The utilization of the countdown before you begin the service.
Yes.
Utilizing that.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, you know, a lot of churches before service, they might be running a slideshow of announcements. We basically do that for our online countdown. And then you might have noticed that we actually had a separate set of announcements for online. And that's also because we don't want them to just be spectating what is happening here, but we have announcements that they can actually participate in. What's coming up online? What can they be a part of? And so, again, that's just something else, looking straight into the camera. This is for you. And it's inviting them to the next thing, right? You're here for church? Great. Join us for Power and Praise, or join us for our small group, or whatever that is. Getting them into that next thing, and making sure that they know that we're doing stuff specifically for them. So taking the dinner plan and making it sort of apply to what we're doing. Again, you need to still invest and prepare. You need to know what it is that you want to serve people. And just because Church of the Rock does this way doesn't mean that your church is going to do it the same way. What is it that you have? What is it that you offer that you think people need to hear or need to see? You know, we're all online. We don't have to compete with each other. But what do you bring to the table, literally and figuratively? So what do you want to serve? How can you serve it? In other words, what's sort of the platforms available, the technology, what are the resources that you currently have? And what and who do you need to make that happen, right? So again, we were blessed as a television ministry. We've got cameras. We've got people who know how to work them. You know, we've got incredible tech team that check overseas. So our pivot was a much easier one in that sense. I know churches that during COVID, they had a stand, they had an iPhone, and he sat down and he did it. You know what? If that's what you have, then use it. Use it to the best of your ability. Learn how to do it to the best of your ability. And as God leads you to invest more in the equipment or in the people, I mean, this is what I do full time. This is my job, right? So the Church of the Rock has made that investment in bringing me here. Not a huge investment, but an investment. So this is what I do. Now, not every church can have a full-time person, but maybe there's someone in your congregation who's really good at this stuff, and they would volunteer some time with you. You know, find out who and what you need to do it. You've got to invite your guests. I could do a whole other workshop on the good and evil of social media, but social media is the primary way that you can invite people online. And so we post a lot of announcements, but we also post a lot of content, clips from Sunday services, little video reels that always gets lots of views and entices people to come and join us. And again, your in-person congregation can be a part of this, right? By liking and sharing and reposting and commenting and participating in what's happening on social, because again, that gets it out to more people. It boosts your algorithm. You get seen by more. And you know what? If you have something special coming up, spend a few bucks and boost the post on the, or an ad. It's cheap like Porsche, you know, and you can be regional in your reach. Again, that's a whole other workshop, but you need to invite your guests, let them in and bring them in. So if you are streaming, you need to be there. If you are streaming, you need to be there. Have you ever stumbled across a church stream on Facebook and jumped in and said, hey, and nobody replied? Lots of churches are doing that. They Facebook Live on my phone. Here, boom. And now we'll do church. Spectators, they're not even sitting on the couch. They're outside looking through the window because nobody's greeted them. Nobody's invited them in the house. If you're streaming, you have to be there. You have to welcome them. You have to encourage them. You have to ask them questions and engage with them. That's where the community comes from. And so that's including them again. Making sure that they can participate in what you're doing, right? So we were having communion. We made sure they knew we were having communion at the beginning of the service. You know, go grab some juice and crackers so you can do this with us. Make sure they have the ability to participate with you. If we're doing power and praise and we're saying we want people to come up for prayer, you know what? Hey, if that's you, type in that's me. Oh, great. Okay, these people all ask for prayer. Who's going to pray for them? Engage them so that they can be part of it as well. So that to me is sort of the correlation between the dinner party plan and making it intentional for online. So this past year, since I got here, we've tried to add some of those welcome experience elements that you saw there, you know, and including some live interaction and participation on the platform. Like you say, being intentional about welcoming, like everybody that comes up, that doesn't come natural. Especially, I mean, it came natural during COVID, right? Because that was the only thing you could relate to was the camera. There was nobody in the room. But now that there's people in the room again, it is more work for the pastors and worship leaders to remember, oh yeah, there's actually people on the other side of that camera. And sometimes there's more on the other side of the camera than there's in front of you. So we need to remember that they're there. And you know, that's part of my job is I nag them. Ask any of the pastors here, I nag them. Don't forget my online people. They're real people. Yeah. Let's just all say it. They're real people. Wouldn't Pastor Tim be proud of me? They're real people. So again, increasing your activity on social media platforms and streams, that's how we be more intentional about that. So I spend a lot of time on Facebook and Instagram. I thought I did before I came here, and now I spend a lot of time. But you know what? We want to be present. And we want to make sure, and this is sort of a slightly separate thing, but it does fall in line. As you reach out to people and you start getting those online requests for prayer, they might go through your website or through the platform you use or just direct message you on social media. You have to respond to those. And let me tell you, when a real human being responds to an online prayer request, and you say, hey, Noah, I got your prayer request, and you know, we're going to pass that on to our prayer teams, but I'm going to take a moment and pray with you right now in an email, and I pray with you, and I send that back. The responses I get, it's really humbling, because they don't feel seen sometimes, especially when they're online. And they have their reasons for being online. We don't know, right? But they take this huge step of faith and reach out, and sometimes they don't get an answer. A real person emailed them back and said, I hear you, I see you, you matter, let me pray with you. I've got some really good email relationships going on with people that I've never met, because it means the world to them that someone actually replied. So again, just that intentionality, it's very, very important. So far, we have seen, at least I've seen in the last year, this increased feeling of community, again, from those people that are joining us regularly online. Again, we've had people who've been doing this with us for years from all across Canada, the States, all across Africa, Europe. We get people that join us regularly from Nigeria, you know. I don't know why, but they do. We're their church. We're seeing people get saved online. You know, we're seeing people raise that hand and make that decision. We're seeing them doing it in real time in chat and saying, I just prayed that prayer, and other people online encouraging them. We've had baptisms of the Holy Spirit happen online. We just wrapped up our Simply Supernatural series, and we had a Power and Praise night. And Pastor Mark was bringing people forward, and he was encouraging people online to do this. And there were people online saying, you know, oh, I've never even heard of this before, or yeah, that's a thing. And we were taking them through that process. And then all of a sudden, this one woman gets on there, and she says, I've been praying for this for years, and I spoke in tongues for the first time tonight. And someone else who's originally from Pakistan, who's been learning about what Christianity is and accepting Jesus and going through this whole process online, said, I don't even know what it is, but I think I just spoke in tongues. And everyone was encouraging her. It was all happening online. I'm on the platform trying to host, and I'm bawling, doing the ugly cry thing and on camera. Well, Chuck knows I do that a lot. But it's incredible. It does happen online. It can, and it does happen online. And those relationships between those folks are building and getting stronger. And again, they don't live anywhere near each other, but they have relationship. There are people who know, if they go online, that this other person that also goes online is praying for them. And they'll say, hey, you know, Chris, thanks for praying for me. This is a relationship, but they've never met in person. It happens. We have improved connectivity of our own people that come into the building. Again, because we're increasing our presence on social media, they're getting the announcements more regularly, they're interacting with each other in social media groups. It's just like any relationship. Like, I keep bringing my poor husband into this. My husband of nearly 20 years, I married him so I could have a physical relationship with him. We live together. I love to be physically with him. I love to be sitting next to him. I love the fact that we live together. I want to be with him all the time. But I got to go to work, right? He's got to go to work. We text each other several times a day. Sometimes if we're feeling old school, we'll call, right? Every good relationship is both physical and digital these days, right? So the same thing for your in-person congregation. If you've got a good online presence, that helps them too. That actually increases their ability to stay connected with you during the week, all those other hours that are not Sunday morning. So it's not either or. It's not, oh, I have to serve this congregation or this congregation. It's both and, because both can benefit from what we're doing online. And it has been exciting to see some of those people who were shopping around and searching and finding us online, coming to church. We've got new families coming. I found you online during COVID. I want to go to that church. So it is an incredible gateway to your church. Again, a lot of people don't live here. I hope they find a church locally, and we've actually tried to help folks find churches locally. So I might be sending them to y'all's church later, so depending on where they live. So, but that's an exciting thing to see people connect into a church community when they're ready to do that. Some people have been really hurt by the church, and that's why they feel safer online. And so actually going to a physical church is a big thing. And if we can be a part of that, that's pretty awesome. And the online numbers, like I said, we were online, we were streaming, we were doing a lot of that stuff for several years beforehand. And then, of course, there was the explosion of numbers during the shutdown. But even now, with people coming back, and that initial, you know, fear and terror has gone away, our numbers are still hovering at or slightly above triple what they were before COVID. So we've added new people online, and they're dedicated, right? And that number, you know, seems to increase as well. So it's pretty exciting stuff. It's just in its infancy. I know that God's got so much more for us, but we have to be willing to keep going down this road and not be so eager to run back to what was normal. It's wonderful to have people back in the building, but let's not forget about those people that found us during that. So I know I'm running out of time, but I just want to encourage you, if you've been doing online, if you can try and shift your mindset from the have to the get to, you know, don't be like the disciples and think, oh no, they've got to go to church to be fed. You know, yeah, we want to get them there. That would be wonderful. But Jesus says, feed them where they are. Luke 9 once again. So now we get to finally be intentional in our online ministry, on purpose, with a purpose. Don't forget the dinner party plan. For me, it's always about food. So invest and prepare, invite, let them in, and include them. And most importantly, online people are real people. I'm not quite sure what I have for time, but if we do have time, I'm open to questions, discussion, or if you've been doing online, if you need therapy, I'm here for you. So,
so how do you manage prayer requests and things that may be a little bit more private for people that they wouldn't just chat about it on, right?
Right, yeah, yeah. So when we get, yeah, so when we're streaming, we do have on the online platform, the Life Church online platform, there is a button that they can push for prayer that actually opens up a private chat between the host and them. So there's that option. But if they're joining us on Facebook or YouTube, that option isn't there. So that's when I will put up a link. We have a prayer link on our website. And so I put up the website's prayer link. If you would like prayer, and they go to that, and then all of those emails come to me. Yeah.
Whoever's managing that needs to be aware of that all the time.
So exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
You mentioned how you try to connect people to local churches. So
mm-hmm.
Obviously, it seems like you guys are wanting, if people can, to move to like an in-person church relationship, because I think most people would agree that that tends to be more healthy. How do you go about
Mm-hmm. I think if you're chatting with people online, there's going to be moments when they will share a little bit of their story, especially if they're doing Bible studies or things like a power and praise type thing where people are being a little more open. We have enough content that we give people opportunity to sort of share a bit of their stories. And so you do find out why they're not in church sometimes. And some people have very legitimate reasons. Maybe they live in a remote community, and there isn't a church there that they feel that they can connect to. But for me, I always kind of want to try and dig down to see if I can find what that is. What is it that's keeping them away? And if I do know the community that they're in, and I know of a church you know, in that community, I will say, hey, have you ever tried, have you ever popped by Harvest City Church in Regina? You know, I know some of the guys, they're great. They're amazing. You'd really like it, you know? And what's interesting about our online community is that we do have some, like one of our most faithful online volunteer hosts. She hosts our Sunday morning service pretty much every Sunday morning. She's a co-host. We always have more than one because it can get busy. She's almost always there. And she lives in Nova Scotia. I don't know if she's ever really been here in this building. But she found us. She loves us. She goes, because of the time difference, she goes to her church. And then she comes and serves our church. Senior lady, sweetest thing. I've Zoomed with her and she was not what I was expecting. You got love online for people that can surprise you. But yeah, you know, there's a family in Montreal that are searching for a church. And they're, you know, from Pakistan and new to Canada, found us during COVID, and desperately want to go to church. But there's so much persecution and very interesting things happening in Quebec right now. So being a Pakistani Christian is a very interesting package to be looking for a church. But in the meantime, we're there for them, and I'm going to keep looking and hopefully find them a place that can plug in.
Yeah, just because I said earlier, I'm not technical.
That's okay, neither am I.
Mm-hmm. So when you guys stream your 9:25 service on Sunday, when does the audience see that? Like, is it real time?
It's a few seconds. It's a few minutes behind.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's in that chat section and stuff like that. So even if, you know, if you don't have the ability to direct target online announcements, to still be talking about that during when the church ones are going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then if you're if somebody views it on a YouTube post, that's something totally different.
Exactly. Yeah, because exactly. Yeah, it's kind of like when you're doing that sort of that live broadcast. We do a thing periodically called Wellness Wednesdays, and we pre-record some kind of mental health topic, we call it bite size. They're about 15-20 minutes, and we play them during the lunch hours on Wednesdays on Facebook and on YouTube and on our platform as well. And even when we do that, I make sure that I'm there. Even though the content is pre-recorded, it's being streamed. It's going out and the chat is open, right? So it's going out there in real time. We've invited people to watch it. So as soon as that chat opens, you're going to see Amber in there. Hey guys, welcome to Wellness Wednesday. Today we're talking about this. You know, jump in the chat and say hi. Like, they're going to see that as soon as the chat opens. And if it doesn't happen, it's because I'm running down the hallway someplace late. But normally that's what happens. And it's, you know, in close to real time. Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, you guys. And my second question is those QR codes that you, I believe that's what they're called, that you have on the back of the seats.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if that is used a lot? Is there any way of tracking that?
It's tough to, I don't know if we actually have analytics on it. You know, we went to that when we just went paperless for the bulletins and stuff. You know, during COVID, you didn't want to be handing stuff out. And so people can, that just takes them straight to our What's Happening page. And we have used it for a few other things like pie auctions and stuff. It's just handy for getting people to a specific web URL that you want to get them to in a hurry. You can also like put them up on your screens as well, but... But yeah, people use them. Almost everybody's got a smartphone now, so yeah. It's so funny because for a while now, when I remember taking a marketing class several years ago, and they were just really kind of poo-pooing the erroneous use of QR codes. Remember, you would find QR codes on the stupidest things? And you were like, what? And it wouldn't even take you anywhere that you needed to go, but people were just all kind of QR code crazy. And Scott Stratton wrote a book called QR Codes Kill Kittens. And he basically said every time you use a QR code incorrectly, a kitten dies. You know, if you think of it that way, then maybe you'll start using them well. So, but then, of course, COVID happened, and QR codes actually became a very valuable thing. Who knew? Any other questions? Yes.
So you had your intermittent cutaways to a host, and you had them seemingly, was that just not Thanksgiving, they're always specific to that Sunday?
Yes.
So we've kind of tipped around that idea a bit, and it's seems like, how do you keep that content fresh and not like you're saying the same thing?
It is. It absolutely is. You can ask Chuck when I'm standing in front of the camera, like, how do I say this in an interesting way? Especially the welcomes, you know. So it's good if you do know what is coming up specifically in the service and to try and, you know, get them involved as much as you possibly can. And it's always important to remember that it could be someone's first time, right? It's always somebody's first time, right? So, but yeah, to try and keep that fresh is exciting. And then our biggest challenge is, in order to have that ready for Sunday, you know, we're pre-recording those online announcements and stuff like that. And I don't know, I mean, you guys are probably way more organized. I'm sure most churches are super organized and know exactly what you're doing well in advance. That would not be us. We are the kings of just-in-time delivery and changing our minds 2 minutes before we start. So doing the online announcements ahead of time is always a bit of a step in faith. But you know what? It's helping to train us to be a little more organized, stick a little more to the plan. I wouldn't say a lot, but a little more to the plan. Yeah.
You don't actually.
Yeah, it's not. So that's not in real time.
Oh,
You needed to have Backstage Pass in there because that now puts our service 5 minutes behind online. And now that we have that 5 minute delay, if they go along during announcements live, we have
some wiggle room. Yeah. I don't want to name names, but we have one pastor that, you know, goes long routinely whenever he has the mic. And again, I won't name names, but it rhymes with jobbery. And, you know, you give him the mic, he's going to go. So, yeah, there have been times when it's been a little nerve-wracking. But, again, you try to invest and prepare and plan. And every time something gets a little, whoa, that was close. It's like, okay, well, what can we do to try and mitigate that in the future?
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that, like, Personally, I'm kind of a stickler for quality, and whenever I watch a church live stream where they don't have great audio equipment, the worship leaders are faithful but not necessarily the most talented. Watching that online just makes it like 10 times worse.
Yeah.
And for me, that's kind of like a turn off towards the church. I don't know if that's a general like consensus among people, mm-hmm. but what are your thoughts on that quality standard, especially for worship?
Well, as a singer myself, as a worship leader here, I have certainly learned that online broadcasts are so unforgiving. I mean, wow. I mean, you listen to yourself and like, what? Like, you know, the room is very forgiving, right? You know, and so when you're doing something online, it's a much tougher thing. I mean, again, we're blessed that we have a separate broadcast mix. We have someone who's mixing specifically for the stream because it is a bit of a different animal. But yeah, I mean, people can forgive poor or video, you know, audio is important. It is number one. And that's not just because I married a sound guy. It is number one. Yeah. You can forgive almost anything, bad sound. You can have perfect video, but bad sound and you lose people. Like you can literally see the numbers drop off, you know, and we've had issues. I mean, we have technical issues. Some are in control and some are not. If the video's acting up, people will hang in there. If the audio's acting up, they're gone. Yeah. You know, so you do have to. And I think that comes back to the one thing I mentioned, you know, when it talks about investing and preparing. Don't feel like you have to do a full-on church service, right? Like maybe, you know, maybe you have an amazing pastor, an amazing teacher. You know what? Then maybe that's your online content. Is him teaching, and you can get good quality audio and stuff like that. If the music isn't there, then don't do it. Like it doesn't. There are other places that people can go to be fed that. But what can you feed them that they're not going to get anywhere else? Right? What are you going to put out there that's also going to entice people to physically come to your building because they found that online, right? So yeah, you don't want to put something out there that's just going to scare people away, right? Especially online, because people are harsh. So.
Can I just add one more thing on there too?
Yes.
One other thing that we've kind of discovered too, this actually came right from Pastor Mark, which kind of surprised me. I didn't think he was that, cognizant of what the worship was, but he can feel all mm-hmm. He says, I want to cut out the fourth song because the fourth song is, we start, you know, excited and kind of work down, mm-hmm. more worshipful kind of stuff. And he's the one that said, people online, typically, the watch artists, don't want to see that, right? Like when you're sitting at home, it's hard enough to get people to worship, period, right? Usually it's a show, right? They're sitting there watching it, and as soon as the worship's done, they're like, oh yeah, you know what I mean? They're not. And he said, let's focus on the stuff that he, you know, we think will get the most active in it and drop the stuff that doesn't. So for us even, we're not everything out there.
Yeah.
And being intentional even on the worship side, like, what is going to make the most impact for people? Let's do that. It caused us all sorts of technical problems that we, you know, weren't around it. But again, there's all sorts of other ways to do it. Like if you have the ability to pre-record stuff during the week and just have a collection of songs, one or two before you get a message, you know, where you can actually mix it properly and stuff like that. It doesn't have to be live, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think on the music side of it as well, you definitely have to be super intentional on, is this having the impact that we want? You know, and a lot of times we get blinded, I think, on the church side, and, you know, because we come to church all the time, we know the music. If this is an evangelistic tool where you want to get new people, you know, that have never been to your church into it, you got to look at it from that perspective. If they watch this, what are they going to think about this? If they don't know our culture, if they don't know
mm-hmm.
the songs, you know, how is this going to come across?
Yeah. Well, as I said earlier, I'm all about the food, so I don't want to keep you from lunch. We have officially run over time. But I'm happy to chat with you guys one-on-one. I have put contact information on a chair by each door. I'm not just saying, oh, if you want to talk, please, I would like to get connected with each one of you. So please send me an email and let me know what you got out of today. And if you have any other questions, if I don't know the answers, I'll ask Chuck because he knows the And I'm just going to quickly pray for you guys before I release you for lunch, right? Because you guys were awesome. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for each one of these men that you have blessed and equipped. And Father, that you would just light the fire inside of them, Lord, and that you would just bless each of their ministries. And Father, if they're working in online, we just ask that you would bless that ministry and those efforts. Father God, guide them, direct them, fill them with your excitement and your passion as they lead. And Father God, I just pray that this would be step one of a very, very exciting journey for each one of them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you. God bless you.